2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Hey, welcome to Project Recovery. I'm Casey Scott. That's Dr. Matt Woolley. What you're getting here is a bonus episode, Dr. Matt. Bonus means good.
It is. This is a good bonus.
Yeah, this is a good bonus.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever got a bad bonus?
I don't think so. Well, no, I don't
think
so.
Some people might say it's a bad bonus, but it's extra, so it's better.
Extra is always good.
Hey, today we got Susan Peterson in. She's with the Sober Foundation. Now, we heard a little bit about the Sober Foundation in the earlier podcast. We had Cameron Marshall on.
Right. Cameron gave a good review of this.
So he said he'd been probably, if you counted his multiple stays at different treatment facilities, probably 13 stays in all.
Right. Is that what's the record? I can't remember what our we should have a whiteboard.
Right. We used to do that when I worked at the fair. We'd do a mullet count.
Mullet count.
Yeah. Anytime somebody walked by, we go mullet one, mullet two, mullet three. But yeah, we could do a treatment count and see who's got the record.
He's pretty close. He's in the running.
Yeah. He's up there. I don't know if it counts because he hit him multiple times.
It counts. Yeah. Does it? Yeah. Well, it's all what he said. 7 programs, 13 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he spent a lot of time there, and we asked him, why was it different this time? Why did he stay sober this time? And his answer was, he went to sober living.
Right.
And we kind of talked a little bit about the benefits of sober living.
And how sober living is a kind of a step down, sort of, you're in recovery proper for a certain period of time. You're in that, like you like to call it, the pink cloud. You're feeling great. And then instead of just going right back to the old environment, which probably includes friends and family who are still using and problems where you might fall back in and relapse quickly, this is an opportunity to step down back into real life, but with support.
Yeah. And Susan Peterson, who started the Sober Foundation, started this for a reason, and we're going to find out why that reason is. Susan, welcome to the podcast.
And thank you for inviting me.
So why did you want to start the Sober Foundation?
It's the Sobriety Foundation.
Yes.
And 10 years ago, my son passed away from a drug overdose. And I had 4 friends that were in recovery come to me and ask me if I wanted to be one of the signers on the 501(c) and start a nonprofit that funded sober living for people that couldn't afford it. And I thought that was just such an awesome way to give back, especially my son. He said to me numerous times, "Mom, I can get sober. I just don't know how to live it. You know, I can detox. I can be on the road to recovery, and then I just go right back to my old ways."
That is such a true, insightful statement that he was able to recognize that he can get sober, but living it was another level challenge.
Whole different ball game.
I think that's true for so many people.
After you graduate a treatment center.
Yeah.
Because I remember being in the treatment center and after 2 weeks going, "Hey, I didn't die. I thought if I went 2 weeks without alcohol, I was going to die." And so you get this idea in your head. You're like, "Holy crap, I can do this. I can actually be sober and have conversations and have a good time, laugh, feel my emotions, and do all these things that I thought I would never be able to do without the aid of alcohol. I can do it." But when you test your mettle is when you walk out those doors. That's why they call it the pink cloud, because in there, everything's easy. They're telling you what to do. They're telling you where to go. They're feeding you, and they're keeping everything at bay. They're all the stuff. You don't have access to it. So it's really easy to stay sober.
Sure.
But when you get out and all of a sudden nobody's telling you what to do, nobody's telling you to get up, telling you where to go, and you're left to your own thoughts.
Well, and like we've talked about, just because you got sober doesn't mean your problems went away.
Right.
Most likely you started using or continued using to avoid problems. And so now you're back facing those problems. You're sober, but the problems haven't gone away and the environment probably hasn't changed. And that's we see that relapse rate go steadily up the more that's a person's situation. So tell us, what does in your opinion, now it's been 10 years since you lost your son.
Yes.
And you've been providing this benefit to so many people. What have you seen that it does for people in our community having a sober living opportunity?
Well, what we do is we give a 2-month scholarship. We give their first 2 months in sober living. We pay for the first 2 months. And so what that does is it gives them a chance to get a job. 90% of all of the people after the 2 months have a job. And
oh, that's great.
And it makes it really nice. So now they can start paying for their sober living home. Most of them stay in the sober living, just like Cameron did, for a long amount of time. And it makes them feel good because now they can pay for their own living. It helps them save a little bit so that they can maybe put some money towards a truck or whatever fines, yeah, whatever expenses that they have. So it just kind of gets them on the road to a sober life. Since we've been in existence in 2012, we've given out over 1,200 scholarships.
Oh, that's great.
And it's been so rewarding, so healing for me to see that my son couldn't get his life back on track, but so many other people, just like Cameron, has gotten his life back on track. So rewarding to see that. I see my son in almost every scholarship that we give out and the struggles that he had.
Well, your son lives on through this foundation and through the help that you're doing. And I think that's what's so great.
I have so much help. I have a wonderful board. I have an amazing family. I have 9 brothers and sisters, and they have helped me immensely. And you know, we wouldn't be able to do this without all the donors. You know, we don't get very many grants. We haven't gotten very many state grants. It's been all corporate and individual donors. And so that speaks for the state of Utah, I think.
Yeah. I think Dr. Matt was saying last week that this is a very generous state when it comes to mental health and resources. And people do want to see the good in people and help out.
Exactly.
I want to ask you a question. Does insurance cover sober living?
No, it does not. And so that's why we wanted to put our money into this, is because we felt like it was just such an important part of the recovery process. And so they come to us. In fact, I was just on a phone call today as I was writing up to the podcast about this girl that was being kicked out of a sober living home because she had she didn't have the funds. And they thought that she had the funds to do it when they first put her in, and she was only in a week at the sober living place, and then she got kicked out. And I had Ryan Hymas, who is on our board, and he works for I Am Recovery, and he called and he goes, "Susan, is there any way that you have the funding that you can take care of this girl for 2 months? She has nowhere else to go. And without this, Susan, she's going to be on the street." And that is in the case with most of our people. If they don't get funding from us, they're back out on the street.
And then they don't have that time to get a job and start to become self-sufficient.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think that is a crucial piece to recovery, is the sober living, is that transition, that, you know, giving them the tools to baby step into recovery and try to utilize those tools that were given to them in treatment.
Sure.
If people wanted to help out and donate to you guys, is there a way to do that?
Yes. Our website is sobrietyfoundation.org. And I just wanted to tell you this because we did a huge reorganization of our foundation, and we hired a grant writer, let our executive director go, and I took over the executive director position. I've been with it since the inception of our foundation, and so I knew the ins and outs of everything that we've gone through, all the hard times, all the things that we've tried and hasn't worked, and all the things that we've tried and have worked. One of the things that has worked is we have a sober speakeasy once a year, our annual fundraiser. It's this year on October 8th at the Grand America. And you can get tickets. You can call me 801-427-3869, and we'll get you a ticket and we'll get you in the doors. And it's just a fun night. It's a take on the 20s, kind of a, you know, everybody dresses
Roaring 20s theme.
Yeah. You know? Flappers and gangsters and
I hear you have some pretty cool speakers at this one.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I don't know if you guys know Casey Scott. He's going to be one of our keynotes.
I'm wearing his underwear.
Wow, thank you with that image.
And Cameron Marshall, he is going to be our scholarship recipient that speaks this year. And we also have a Lemon Harrington, who is fabulous.
Oh, we've had him on the show.
Yeah, yeah. Amazing story of recovery. And yes. Dr. Matt's actually going to be sitting at the table with me. So if you want some free psychology, buy a ticket, come to the event.
Yeah, that's
I'll introduce you to Dr.
What
Matt.
What I was hoping to do is psychotherapy instead of mingling. But yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah. Well, hey, it's all for a good cause.
It is for a good cause. I'm excited about it. And what a beautiful venue to be at the Grand America Hotel downtown.
Yes, it's absolutely beautiful. And I don't want to forget Randall Carlyle. He's going to be our MC.
We've
had him on the show. Yeah.
He was our MC 2 years ago, and he did a fabulous job. And he's got one of the kindest hearts I've ever met. So I didn't want to leave him out because he's an important part of our program, too.
Once again, if people want tickets, they can go to your website.
Yes, they can. It's $200 a seat.
Of that money goes to help.
All of it goes to sober living.
Perfect.
All of it goes to sober living. An average sober living home a month is about $800. And so all the monies that are raised that night goes completely to sober living.
I love it. Hey, Susan, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
And thank you for listening to Project Recovery right here on KSL.
Contents of this program are for informational purposes only. The program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician, licensed therapist, or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this program. KSL does not recommend or endorse any specific tests, physicians, products, procedures, opinions, or other information that may be mentioned on the program. Reliance on any information provided on the program is solely at your own risk.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.